The Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Shion Atown.
All right, welcome to I'm Everything. I'm CKMS 102.7, and I'm here with one of the members of Paper Lines. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Beautiful sunny day here on PEI. I'm feeling the spring vibes. I'm doing well.
East Coast lifestyle. You know, I was born in PEI, but you know, I moved a lot in my life. But you know, I just happen to. Whatever, I lived in PEI at the time, you know, you guys were changing your band name and, you know, going from Chucky Danger to going to Paper Lines, and we'll touch on that and all. But how has the quarantine been, I guess, helping you? Yeah, I guess I'll be positive and say helping you. How has it been helping you?
I like that positivity. It's been helping me in a lot of ways, actually. It's been nice to, I don't know, be a little bit more introspective and just kind of think about what really matters, kind of when there's not all the distractions of kind of touring and trying to make records like constantly under a sort of a pressure, the pressure cooker that is the music industry. And it seems like things have slowed down quite a bit. And, you know, in a lot of the sort of major entertainment industries, there's, you know, hardly any movies coming out, a lot less albums coming out. And yeah, it's been nice to kind of take the pressure off a little bit and kind of readjust and refocus. I mean, I say this with, you know, a bit of an asterisk because I feel PEI has been pretty unscathed, relatively speaking. We've been
right,
able to maintain a relative level of freedom here. So I'm,
yeah,
you know, I feel for people like yourself up in Ontario.
Yeah, of course. But and I think one thing is like, even though you guys didn't really get hit as hard, it still affects your, like your touring and all that, right? I mean, you can only do so much totally. In PEI, but I'm sure you guys are itching to get out there on tour. Even like studio time, I'm sure you guys travel, like not stay in PEI and go somewhere else for studio time. How has that been going with like writing music? And have you guys thought of like, okay, we got to come back differently or?
We've kind of, to be honest, the pandemic has kind of hit at a relatively, you know, agreeable time in our career, just because we've been slowly kind of crossfading and more of a sort of a passive touring kind of lifestyle. We really toured for 10 years, like really, really hard and kind of nonstop. So we've kind of taken a little bit of a step back from, you know, real big tours. We've been playing a lot regionally and you know, trying to keep close to home, and we've kind of transitioned a bit more to recording on the island as well. We've done lots of recording and, you know, lots of major cities over the years. We've done records with big producers, and we've done kind of the last one we did kind of on the island by ourselves, just to kind of, you know, get better at our craft in the studio and you know, keep close to home. So it's been, touring is definitely a bit of a blow, though. We haven't played a live show in like well over a year, so it's crazy.
So you talk about like, you know, readjusting and all that. Have you found that like while quarantining, are you guys deciding like maybe like, are you guys going to continue to make new music or is it just gonna be not as quickly as when you guys were younger?
Probably. Yeah. That sounds about right. Like, we'll definitely continue to make music. I think the nature of the band, since we started when we were so young, it's just something we've always done together. You know, John and Robert Brothers, I grew up next door to them, and we met Dave in high school. So it's, you know, Dave's like the new friend. And, you know, by many accounts, he's, you know, we met him in high school. He's such an old friend at this point. But yeah, we'll continue to make music just because it's something we've always done and something we still enjoy, you know, especially like the writing and recording. Touring is you know, it's a slog.
Yeah.
We're really fortunate to have checked a lot of boxes over the years, different places we've traveled and things that we wanted to do whenever we started, things that we never thought we'd get the opportunity to do. We've been able to do it. So we're thankful in that way. But I think probably not as often. We talked this year about like, oh, we've got some spare time on our hands. What if we did a Christmas album? Uh-huh. Anyway, we kind of kicked around a couple ideas, didn't turn into a whole Christmas album, but maybe next year. So we've stockpiled a bunch of different demos and ideas too over the years.
That would have been pretty cool. I would like to hear that one.
Well.
Have you guys made any music as of late, or just kind of like sitting on what your last album, Stay Together?
Mostly sitting on that, really. Yeah. We had kind of planned on playing a lot more shows spring, summer 2020. And of course that all went by the wayside. We had, you know, some gigs that were canceled and sort of summer plans that had to be, you know, rethought, rearranged. And so we really only got to play one show since the release of Stay Together. So we kind of feel like we have a whole album's worth of material we haven't even really got to play live. Yeah. That much. Like there's a couple songs that we had been integrating in the set leading up to the album, but
yeah,
you know, there's probably 5-6 songs on the record that we've only played live like once. So it's a strange thing.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I know so many artists that just came out with albums and they're just like, oh, should we put it out now or should we wait, because we can't really tour it. And you know, by the time you tour it, you just forget all the songs by then.
Totally. Oh, I feel for, like, you know, especially the artists that like had like this big momentum going, and like the pandemic just totally, you know, they lost this bit of momentum. And for us, it didn't affect us as much, just because we've, as I was saying, kind of eased into a sort of a more regular kind of passive career with the band. But yeah, I've got friends in bands that were just getting things cooking, and then it seemed that, you know, all these big plans that they had to, you know, they were booked for big festivals or whatever, like stuff that would have broke them in the States, and they had to, you know,
kind
of rearrange and refocus. So it's tough.
Have any of the band members, including yourself, decided like you want to do something different with your life, or maybe start new bands elsewhere, or kind of new music, or do you think like as a whole, as you guys get older, you're kind of like, okay, you know, we did the music.
I think we've always kind of maintained a certain level of freedom, you know, outside of the band as well. Like John, our lead singer, he leads a lot of different sort of mentorship programs and stuff here on the island. He works through Music PEI, just kind of helping a lot of younger artists kind of get their shit together, to be honest. Like there's a lot of sort of aspects of music that more of the music industry side of things that people just don't really, it's not the stuff that people love to do. And John has a lot of experience in that way, and he's been doing a lot of sort of mentorship stuff like that. And he played maybe a couple solo shows last summer whenever you couldn't do full band shows.
Right.
And so he's been keeping busy still in the music kind of business and keeping his plate pretty full in that regard. Myself, I've been I work out of a recording studio here and doing lots of producing and mixing, and play in other bands. I play in a band called Sorry, Raccoon Bandit, and like a local kind of for fun cover band, and a couple other projects. I kind of started up a bit of a sort of alter ego of sorts to do like remixes and a couple of my own sort of like songs that I'll collaborate with vocalists on.
Yeah.
So I've been still like super, super busy in that regard. And Dave and Rob still write songs. They still kind of, you know, play around home, and we talk about different ideas that we might sort of bring to fruition. As I was saying, Christmas album, we were kind of fiddling around with ideas for that.
Yeah.
And put it on the back burner till next year.
So, you know, you guys been in this band for, like you even said, like high school and all this stuff. You know, obviously it's a different name around then, but Have you, while you're in the band, was there any point where you're like, you know what, eventually I want to branch off and do something a little more on the rock and roll side of things? Like, has there ever been that interest? Because I find that a lot of times when you spend so much time in a band, it's not even like you're spending so much time with these people, but you also want to try a different style. You know, like, okay, I can sing these kind of songs, but I also want to try like singing this section of songs. Have you ever been through that thought process?
Definitely. I think everybody kind of feels that at a certain point, especially when a band's been together so long, and to be able to kind of stretch your legs creatively, like in a different sort of genre or a different approach. You know, the longer you're together, there's kind of like these unspoken sort of systems that are in place and a hierarchy that kind of exists that, you know, in a lot of ways it exists for good reason, because it's been, you know, a certain recipe for success for a group. But, you know, sometimes you do want to sort of approach things differently and sort of challenge yourself in other ways. And that's why, you know, I've been fortunate to play with other bands. And I think especially exploring other sounds and genres and vibes, basically, I've really been fortunate in that way. I really get to explore that in the studio with producing and mixing. So that's really such a big passion of mine, is getting to do that. And the guys in the band have always been super, super supportive of that for me especially. So, yeah, we're like brothers, so we only want the best for each other.
You know, as I mentioned, you've been with these guys for quite a long time. How do you guys handle obviously there's arguments and disagreements, and I'm always curious about the dynamic of a band when you've been with them for so long, even just as friends. Like, how do you be like, okay, you know, that's a stupid argument, we're not gonna, or this is an argument that it needs to happen. Like, how do you make the choice there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. It's like any sort of relationship, really, where it's like you kind of need someone to sort of moderate at times, and you know, you don't want to get in a situation where you're kind of piling up on one person. And it's good to recognize that everybody's going to be annoyed by somebody else at some point in the run of the band. It's just the nature of how it works. And sometimes there has been things in the past that you're kind of like, okay, is this actually what I'm mad about, or am I pissed about something that like happened 3 months ago that like is sticking with me? And usually those arguments say more about you than the other person. And I think in general that everybody in the band's been pretty good to respect each other and try to resolve things as best we can. But, you know, there's still fundamental differences between members, you know.
Of course.
Like, sometimes it's not just a misunderstanding, sometimes it's a fundamental difference in opinion or just ethos on something. So that's the stuff that's really hard to get through.
Yeah, of course. It's one of those things that it comes with age kind of thing, you know. It's I'm sure as you guys get older and a lot of the times, even like not even a band, as you get older, you kind of figure out, okay, what should I argue about, even with like your partner or something, right? It's like, is this even worth it? But I feel like as like young adults, that's kind of hard to figure out. It's kind of like a learning lesson. Like, well, they just got to argue it out, because eventually they'll learn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it is a funny thing. It's like a marriage of sorts. And you know, anybody who's been in a long-term relationship, you realize, you know, it's hard, but, you know, it's always built on a foundation of, you know, deep respect and love. And, you know, hopefully you're in a position where you can speak freely and honestly, and you kind of understand where it's coming from. So
yeah,
I think we've been good in that way, and we know when to give each other space as well. That's one thing that I think a lot of other bands struggle with, is they'll start a band and they'll be like, these are my best friends ever, and they spend so much time together, and like all your free time is together, all your band time is together. And it's like, it's kind of like if in a relationship, if you live together and work together, it's just like this recipe for a disaster. So
yeah, that so definitely makes
good,
sense.
Good at giving each other space.
Yeah. So, you know, it's my show, but you're basically running the show. I'm only the host. I like to call it I'm Everything. I'm hosting it, but it's your show. So you choose what music you'd like me to play.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe we'll start with the track from the album. This one was like the, maybe this is kind of a fun one to do since we're talking about getting through like hard times and arguments and stuff. It's a song called Maybe We're Wrong. And it's kind of the more maybe emotional kind of tracks on the album. Like a lot of the time our songs are, you know, not very revealing, you know, first person kind of narrative as much, because we do write even lyrics as a group often. So this one's a little bit more revealing and it's sort of emotion and it's about kind of getting through a hard time and kind of sitting in that sort of dark space and knowing that, you know, you're going to get through it, but you kind of just need to sit in the sadness for a bit. Mm.
Thank you.
right, and we're back with paper lines, and that was maybe we're wrong. You know, we're touching on the current affairs happening, but we got to go to the origin story of what started it all. And I know you guys, I know you mentioned you knew each other in high school and you're neighbors and all this stuff. How did the band come to be before it was Paper Lines?
Well, we had many different kind of permutations, same way anybody would whenever they're, you know, just 12, 13 years old. You kind of start a band, you know, for a month, and then it sort of disbands, it changes its name and all these things. But, you know, John and Rob started playing music together. They're brothers. And I grew up next door to them. I pretty much spent all my spare time at their house growing up. And we kind of started jamming in their basement whenever they got like a drum set. And I think Rob got a drum set whenever I was maybe 12 or something like that, which I just thought was the coolest thing ever. And we had a band. Our first band was called Spur of the Moment, actually. And it was just like a real straight down the pipe, like pop punk, like sounded like Sum 41, basically.
Yeah.
And Rob was actually the lead singer then, who went on to be backup vocalist and bassist. But yeah, Rob was the lead singer. We had a different drummer, a guy named, I don't know if you'd know, Jordan Oakey by any chance.
Oh, right. Yes.
He'd be like, yeah, he's a great drummer. But he recorded with us, and Miles Kinney as well played bass for us for a bit as well. Just another childhood friend.
Yeah.
But we were called Spur of the Moment, and we played a couple shows. That was when I was maybe like 14. And then then after John graduated high school, he kind of went away and traveled for a bit, and he came back with kind of a handful of songs that were more kind of in a, it was less pop punky, was maybe more like Coldplay sort of vein at that time. And he wanted to start a band, and you know, I was still living next door. I was still in high school, and Rob was still living at home, I think, at the time. And so we ended up starting what then became the Chucky Danger Band, which Dave Cyrus McDonald went to high school with Rob and John, and he was just kind of this amazing sort of eccentric drummer that I had never met before. And he was doing his percussion degree at UPEI at the time. He was like super, super focused in on his percussion degree, and we really had to convince him to join the band because he, you know, his passion was like playing marimba and all these kind of wacky percussion instruments. So we started the band for like a summer. It was just going to be kind of a for fun summer project, really. And we played four shows at the Arts Guild in Charlottetown's now called the Guild, but you probably remember it as the Arts Guild back in the day. And we did a live recording for some reason as our first record. Most people, you know, they want to save their live album for when they're like, you know, seasoned vets and can play well live.
Right.
So I don't know what we were thinking. If you listen to it now, it's like the guitars are terribly out of tune. Like the singing is, you know, just okay. And it just sounds super weird. But that was our first recording. And we had a fun summer doing it. You know, we had basically by the fourth show, like the first show, it was pretty quiet. And by the fourth show, we kind of had a full house. So it was got to the end of the summer and we're like, do we want to keep it going? And you know, we had a couple opportunities to play other places, more like bar clubs, like The Wave was popular at the time. We got a couple shows there and a couple other kind of opening slots for local bands. And we just kind of decided to keep it going, and it just sort of went on from there. Like 15 years later, we're still a band. It seems kind of insane. It's been, you know, more than half my life at this point.
Was there a point where you're like, okay, we got to change the name? Was there like, what was that what was that point like? And were you guys worried of like losing fans, or what was the thought process like?
Basically, we had the name Chucky Danger Band for a while, and we had started to get a bit of a following because we did a bunch of touring, like in Western Canada, like in British Columbia and Alberta, we did all these like school shows that were part of this thing called Art Smarts.
Yeah.
Where they just brought in all these different sort of cultural acts, I guess. And we our cultural aspect of our act was basically that we were from PEI and we were just young guys who formed a band together. And anyway, at that time, MySpace was like just the biggest thing. And it was just the start of social media and things like that. And I remember just because we'd be going to these schools, high schools, junior highs, colleges, you know, every day. We toured out there probably like for 5 months, and we just started to get a lot more of a fan base that wasn't in our hometown. So that was kind of a stepping stone for leveraging things like, you know, factor funding and kind of bigger tours and opening slots for larger bands. And we kind of started getting booked for like a lot of sort of theater soft theater shows, which typically somebody get like kind of more in the twilight of their career, where they're, they're kind of playing more sit down shows to like, you know, baby boomers that have tickets or money to blow on tickets, basically. But at that time, we really wanted to sort of appeal to like our peers and kind of change our sound a bit too. Like it was, as I was saying, it was kind of more in that almost like Coldplay kind of vibe early on. And then we kind of wanted to get more of like indie rock sound, which was really big at the time, kind of late 2000s. And so we wanted to change our name, since basically the week that we had it, but I remember we kept having these conversations of like, oh, we can't change our name now. It's like on a billboard at the Wave or something, you know. It seemed like, oh, how could we ever eclipse this, you know? This is the peak. So eventually we just decided to like just, you know, tear off the band-aid and kind of change the ethos of the band a little bit and start booking more kind of clubs across the country, rather than kind of burning out on this sort of soft cedar tour. So yeah, that was maybe around 2007, and we definitely did get some blowback from fans, especially a lot of those like school tour shows, because we came to the schools as Chucky Danger Band, and you know, people, you know, you just fall in love with whatever you were initially introduced to. But we kind of figured that people had, you know, come along with us that were real fans of the music. And you know, it ended up being a great thing in the end. It was part of the real longevity of the band. You know, when we were talking earlier on like why people end up, you know, bands end up breaking up often, it's because they don't allow themselves to evolve, and they don't allow each other to sort of take those next steps and maybe change direction. And that's when people can feel really sort of stifled within a band.
Right.
I think had we not done that, we definitely would have folded in the towel long ago.
Yeah. And I noticed the newest album you put out, Stay Together, it's a photo of you guys as Chucky Danger in a parade, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the Gold Cup and Saucer Parade in Charlottetown. Whenever that first summer, whenever we were together, when we did those shows at the Arts Guild, that was the other thing that we did. We put ourselves in the Gold Cup and Saucer Parade. I'm not sure whose idea that was, but yeah, we just made a crappy float, and my friend had a truck, and he pulled us on like a hay wagon, and it was like a vague sort of maybe like animal themed float. I don't really know. It was kind of a, we only had like maybe four songs at the time, and we just played the same four songs on a loop the whole for like 2 hours as we went through the parade.
So. That's interesting. I'm sure that was fun.
it was very repetitive.
So, you know, full circle. I think if ever you guys decide to hang it up, the last album should be you guys recreating that whole scene, but just as adults. You're wearing tattered costumes.
That's a good idea. Go back in the parade again.
Those kids in the photo are also adults. They're there as well. You may as well bring them in.
Yeah, that's right. It would be a full circle moment. I think too, that's why we were like reflecting on our sort of existence as a band a lot whenever we were making the last album, Stay Together. And that's why we want to kind of tie in our own journey as a band, and kind of we're looking back on sometimes whenever you're younger, you look back on those things and you're kind of embarrassed. And it's like the same way when you look back at old, I don't know, high school photos or something, you're like, oh, I was so lame. I was, you know, what was I wearing? You know, you've got those knee jerk reactions. But I think since we've been together so long, you kind of have an appreciation for, you know, how far you've come, and you sort of adore that sort of earlier incarnation of yourself and that innocence. And I think we wanted to try to capture that a lot with this record, not just with the artwork and the visuals and things like that, but with the music too. We wanted to kind of maybe bring things back to where it was originally when we began, you know, just the four of us playing in John and Rob's basement as kids.
Yeah, keep it simple. And you know, as we talk full circle, you guys put out Stay Together. And actually the last time I saw you guys live was the Full Color Tour in Toronto. That was really cool. I like that. That album, I feel like was different obviously from Stay Together. I found it was like, how would you describe Full Color versus Stay Together?
Full Color is more like, kind of a full-blown pop kind of production, I guess. There was more like synthesizers and more kind of layered beats and stuff like that. It was a lot less of a sort of a stripped down rock band kind of sound. And that was the record we wanted to make. You know, we were listening to a lot of like 1975 at the time and, you know, really loving the way that they would fuse kind of a rock band sound with kind of bigger synth sounds and, you know, drum sounds. So it was a really fun thing to do in the studio. It was hellishly hard to translate that from the studio to the live, but it was really, really fun to make in the studio.
And all those balloons too for the live show were cool.
Yeah, they were a pain in the ass to fill up every night, but
after putting that kind of album out, was it like, okay, we like to do this? Or was it like, oh no, let's go back to who we are?
I mean, it's like anything that, you know, we wanted to try a record like that. I don't think anybody was like, this is our new sound necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was more of a sort of a personal challenge to try to do a record that was more ambitious sonically and more kind of ambitious in sort of a pop production way. Because I mean, the people that do that level of production and that level of songwriting and vocal work, it's insane. Like they're crazy, crazy talented. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing to step into that ring with those huge, huge bands. So I think it was a great challenge, and we really learned a lot in the process. And I think, you know, we got to scratch that itch and we kind of looked at what we wanted to do with Stay Together, and we decided that we wanted to make it easier on ourselves to say, you know, translate the songs from the studio to live. That was much easier to just, we would play the songs and they'd kind of sound like the songs, which was quite nice. And there was maybe we'll do another album like that. I don't know. I think it's fun to kind of, you know, go for gusto sometimes, and it's also nice to kind of like bring it back down to earth and remember where it came from. And you know, maybe the next record will be some sort of hybrid of the two worlds. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I picture Full Color as like the blue and the red and the like the popping blue, the popping red, and then I picture Stay Together as like an autumn orange and brown kind of like, if I was getting those kind of feeling, those colors from the albums, that's what I would relate it to, which it's good because they like help each other kind of thing, you know. It's like, you guys
totally, got, yeah, that's exactly it, where you I think every great band, you know, goes through seasons, kind of like you were saying. Like, it's, there's kind of a sparkly summertime vibe of Full Color, followed by, you know, the kind of more introspective, muted fall colors of Stay Together. And I think it's nice to have those juxtapose sounds, and they really help play off each other if you're listening to the full catalog or something like that.
I will say, Believer is still a jam.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. That still is one of my favorite songs. We did that. That was the first song we did on Full Color, and we did it with a really amazing producer and mixer down in New York City, by name of Andrew Morey. He's done, like, it's crazy because at the time that we were working with him, he was just kind of getting started. And I remember him, like, I'd be like, oh, what else are you working on? He'd be like, ah, I just, like, did this album with, like, this guy Post Malone. And I was like, oh, crazy. Like, what's that? And it's just like, ah, it's kind of like, it's kind of rap, but it's kind of rock. It's weird. He's like, it'll probably be huge. Sure enough, like, a month later, it's like, he's the hugest thing. And he just did, like, he mixed stuff for the Lizzo record. And, like, he does all the Shawn Mendes stuff. So he's had a crazy career that's really exploded, and I like totally honored that we got to, you know, get his magic on Believer whenever we did. So
someone and another.
If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crumbie Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at the Crumbie, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, cookiedoughco.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're raw cookie dough company. You could eat them raw or you could cook them, but it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Run by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop is totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women, and you'll love it just as much as I love it too. All right, we're back with Paper Lines, and that was Believer. And if you're not a believer after that song, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You got to believe in Paper Lines now after that. Committed. So
right.
This segment, we're going to kind of change things up a little bit. I'm just going to throw these random questions at you. And
sure.
Hopefully you like what's being served. It's gluten-free.
Yeah.
It's vegan. There you go.
Perfect.
So you guys had some songs on TV shows. What was that like for you? And how cool is that to just kind of like, oh, there's our songs kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was super cool whenever it started happening. I think there was something too that happened in the music industry, you know, in the mid 2000s. Like it went from really uncool to have your songs in like TV commercials and movies and stuff like that to like really cool. So I don't know. I think people got over kind of punk rocking each other, and you know, the term sellout really has shifted, especially since, you know, revenues and music industry have really shifted as well. So we've always really loved any time that someone is asked to use our music, or you know, we're totally, I mean, sometimes you end up in a weird movie that you're like, ooh, that's I don't know. That's kind of a bad movie, but, you know, it's, I give people the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes it's just like, people are just, you know, making the stuff they love.
Do any of them come to mind when you say like, oh, I don't want the songs in that, or just,
well, I don't want to name any names, but there's like, there's a couple songs in a couple movies and TV shows
like,
out there
that
I
yeah.
Like, and who am I to judge? I could never ever make a movie or a TV show. That is a level of like work and collaboration. Any time I've been on like a movie set or a TV show set or a music video set, I'm like, these people are crazy. They're so insanely hardworking, and it's like the thought of having like $1 million budget and staying within that seems absolutely frightening to me.
Do you guys get like, how the royalties like for putting in songs and movies? Is it worth it, or is it just because it's your people can listen to the music essentially?
It varies, you know. It's it depends on what sort of an audience it's in front of. In a lot of ways, you know, sync licensing is one of the final sort of places that you can really make good money in the music business right now, you know. Especially, I feel like since we've been a band so long, we've seen all these different you know, stalwarts of the industry just collapse, and other ones just get built up and completely co-opted by huge companies. And you just got to kind of play the game and hope that it somehow works out for you in the end. And I'm, you know, really happy that we've had some opportunities to get some sync licensing, because it is one of the last places that money is good and fair, and people get properly compensated. So that's a good thing.
What's one thing that's often overlooked as a band that you guys have found a struggle?
I mean, one thing that we really struggled with, which is at the same time, it's sort of our calling card, is the fact that we are from PEI. It's so far away from the center of music. You know, we've just had to travel so much, you know, so many long drives to Toronto, you know, over the years. Like, we've done that drive so many times. And, but at the same time, it's sort of who we are, you know. We're not a Toronto band. We're not a Halifax band. We're very much PEI, and we're proud to be from PEI, and it's always been a big part of our identity, not as a band, but who we are as people. Mm. And I think that's, as much as it is something we're really proud of and really love, it's also something that just adds so much time. You know, you can't just hop in the van and just get booked on a random show on, you know, the night before a gig or something like that. Like, it requires so much more planning, and yeah, it's just that 20-hour drive to Toronto, or, you know, the 12-hour drive to Montreal, is just something that'll super exciting at first, but once you do it for like the 40th time, it's not quite as novel.
What's the coolest event you guys ever played at? Most memorable?
Probably like 10 years ago, we played at a World Expo in, it was in Shanghai, China. And this was like just a huge event. We kind of didn't even know what we were getting into whenever we went. And none of us had ever been to Asia before. And we were super excited to, you know, be in a not just a different country, but like a country like China that had been changing so much. And it was at this really unique period in its sort of development. This would have been probably 2010 or 2011. And it was just a fascinating trip to see like parts of the city that were so, you know, derelict and just forgotten about. And other parts of the city, it was like, seemed like something from the Jetsons. It was like this crazy juxtaposition of ultra rich, ultra poor. And the show itself was, I mean, we just had no idea how it would translate to, you know, the Chinese audience. And we actually went over really well. It was really, really funny. They're normally quite reserved as an audience, we were told. Although, like, for the Canadian pavilion, it was all run by Cirque du Soleil, and they were warning us beforehand. They're like, be ready for like a very like you know, under you know, under enthused response. And anyway, they were clapping along and kind of singing along. And once we got off, all the people from Cirque were like, wow, people like really liked you guys. They normally barely even clap. So that was, you know, that I think that was something that was really exciting for us as a band, to be like, holy shit, like, we started this band like in, you know, Belfast, Prince Edward Island, and, you know, we're playing on the other side of the world. It was a real kind of pinch me moment. And, you know, it was the furthest we had ever traveled personally or as a band. So it was a real cool milestone for us. And I always think of that trip for sure.
That'd be a pretty cool experience to go to. Yeah, I mean, awesome. It's like one of those things where you'd never, like, a normal person wouldn't actually go out of their way to go there. But then, like, you know, if you get invited, you're like, oh, maybe I should have come here sooner, you know?
Oh, totally. I think touring in general, it takes you to like a lot of places that, you know, wouldn't be like first on your list necessarily, but you end up going to them 3-4 times and you're like, you know what? Like, Kelowna, BC really is beautiful, or wherever it is, you know? Like, there's all these kind of random places you end up going to that you're like, holy shit, like, especially in Canada, where like this country is so varied and so beautiful. It's been a lot of people from Canada don't end up exploring their own country.
Right.
And we've been really fortunate to see a lot of it.
So rapid fire, I'm going to ask you some just crazy questions. You could give the answer that comes to mind. If someone was unfamiliar with Paper Lines, what's one song in your catalog that would sum you guys up if you had to put a song on it?
I would probably say our kind of our oldest sort of hit is Traveling. Popular song. It's got a whole bunch of hits on YouTube. Yeah, so I'd say Traveling.
If you could give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Oh, relax. Like, chill, be yourself. Don't be out to impress. Just relax, buddy.
Favorite underrated band?
It's funny because my favorite underrated band from PEI was always Box of the Horse, but now they've kind of morphed into Kiwi Junior that are getting like so much attention. So I feel like they're not that they're overrated. They're just being discovered. I think they're still very underrated. But I would say the North Lakes, my first band I ever produced. They're such a great band. We actually just did 4 new songs with them, and I think they're just awesome band.
Great band. Favorite venue to play in?
I would say my favorite venue was Metropolis in Montreal.
Favorite TV show?
I mean, as a touring musician, you get to watch a lot of TV and movies on the road just to kill time. But I would say Mad Men, probably. I rewatch that show constantly.
And that has a tie to PEI as well, I believe.
It does?
I'm pretty sure the person who was like bringing in all the fabrics and all that is from PEI.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Like for the costumes and stuff?
Yeah, you're going to have to look into that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will. That's cool.
While we're on it, may as well. Favorite movie?
I don't know. I'm a sucker for like, me and my girlfriend just went through the Lord of the Rings trilogy extended editions. I was just the perfect age for those whenever I was growing up. So like I have watched The Fellowship of the Ring. Like it's probably the movie I've watched most.
Favorite city?
Melbourne, Australia, I'd say. It's such a cool city. Love, love, love that city.
If you could put like a time period on how long you think that Paper Lions will continue to play, whether it be 50 years, whether it be 20 years, what would you say?
I have no idea. I mean, we thought it was just going to be like one summer. So I think we're not the authority on how long this band will go on for. But yeah, I would say for many years to come.
I'm expecting the last record to look like the tattered parade and all the tattered clothing.
Yes, that's right. Just keep using the same images over and just getting older and decrepit.
2021 goals.
Stay healthy, stay happy, keep active. I'm trying to like, you know, remind myself to get outside and to, you know, do yoga, play some sports with my friends, because that's the stuff that whenever I do it, I'm like, oh, right. This is why people do this. It makes them happy.
Right. Okay. So lastly, what would you like the last song to be?
Why don't we do the song Stay Together from the album Stay Together? It's the last track of the record, and it kind of sort of sums up you know, everything that we're trying to capture on the album. And it's there's been like lots of great collaborators that we've had over the years as a band. Marley Sonje and Bruce Rooney, they have toured with us for years, and they're two featured instrumentalists on this one. We wanted to bring them in, have them on the record, so they do like a guitar / saxophone solo at the end that's just killer. So I really love how it encapsulates not just our journey as a band, but also these kind of auxiliary members that mean a lot to us whenever we play live. So
well, I appreciate coming on the show, and hopefully down the road when you guys come to Toronto, you can come to come to the studio. This is not the studio I'm in, but once I am in the studio, you could come and play some jams. Is there anything last you want to pitch to the audience? Any advice? Any social medias?
The audience is curious. I'm actually releasing a song under my solo moniker on April 1st. I go by Good Neighbor. And it's the song's gonna feature a guy named Logan Richard, who's like a great singer and guitarist. And so, if anybody wants to check that out, feel free. Look me up on Instagram, Good Neighbor. As I said earlier, you know, get outside, try to do something active, and just know that this too shall pass, as they say. I know it seems hard to fathom that it's been like a full calendar year, but you know, in the grand scheme of it, this is just another season in our life, as we were talking about earlier. We kind of will go through these different moods, these different seasons, and we'll be only better for it. So. Long night, I heard the night was long. The two of you were trying to figure out where you went wrong. You waited by the bus stop talking, letting them go by. You returned to darkened corners to spark a light. If you could see what I'm seeing, look and you will find what you got is worth believing. Things will change in time. I wish you would stay together. I wish you could see all the good you made together. I wish you wouldn't leave. I wish you would stay together. I wish you could see all the good you made together. I wish you wouldn't leave. You said you made plans to leave. Tired of being strangers, tired of misery. But stranger, things have happened to better and to worse than making up, not breaking up, talking it over first. God is worth believing, things will change in time. I wish you would stay together. I wish you could see all the good you made together. I wish you wouldn't leave. I wish you would stay together. I wish you could see all the good you made together. I wish you wouldn't, wish you wouldn't leave.
This show was brought to you by the amazing Crummy Cookie Dough Company. Check them out in Uptown Waterloo. Great raw cookie dough with ingredients you recognize and respect.